Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I am really excited for you to hear this conversation I had with Inner Circle member Jen, who, by the way, is one of the nicest, sweetest people I've ever spoken to. But she's had serious struggles with binge eating and emotional eating, and I have a feeling you're really going to like this discussion and how we worked to overcome this issue. If you have any questions, let me know. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a 5-star review. It would mean a lot to me. In the meantime, thank you, Jen, so much for coming on. I hope you enjoy the episode. Jen.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
What's going on? It's 8 a.m. your time, huh?
Yes, 8 a.m. for me. I know that was one thing I was discussing with your assistant. I was like, make sure I have the time delay proper.
Yeah, I screw that up all the time. But you're in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, well, I'm like an hour outside of Vancouver, but there's no point even mentioning that because it's such a small town. So if you say Vancouver, then people can identify with it a little bit easier.
Got it. Yeah. Vancouver's beautiful. I love it there.
Yes, totally is.
Well, so how are your holidays?
Super good. Yeah, can't complain. I mean, I worked. I work for Vancouver. I'm a Vancouver cop, so unfortunately, don't really get the time off. But it was good holidays. Can't complain. Lots of family in amongst the work, so it's good. How about you?
It was good. It was really relaxing, which was great. So I'm really excited to get on the phone with you, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this. I want to make sure that you know this is 100% your time. Whatever questions you have, anything that I can help with, this is for you. So whatever you want to talk about, it's 100% up to you, and we'll just go with it. Why don't you just tell me what you're struggling with or how I might be able to help you most?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm probably your standard client that is, you know, comes from a fitness background. I've played sports my whole life, always been super athletic, always kind of had my nutrition in check, but it was because I was such an athlete. So it's like growing up, you don't have to worry about your metabolism because bless, it's just being a kid. That's what happens. And then you kind of start to enter into your 20s and you're like, whoa, this is what real life is like. This sucks. And yeah, I'd say for me, like the shifting point was 13 years. So I'm 30, 13 years ago, when I was 17, my mom passed away and we were super, super close. And it's actually been super good. Like just I'm in the inner circle and just following your posts, I can see where my main issue lies. Cause it's like, I've had these same 40 pounds just like kicking around since I tore my ACL 10 years ago. And it's like, how am I not getting rid of this? And it's 100% attributed to binge eating, which I know you're like the king of that topic. I've listened to your podcast with Nick, the nutritionist. And as I was sitting there, I was like, man, I identify with this guy so much. And you don't realize, it's honestly, until following you, I didn't realize how many people deal with this and how it's so bloody common. That's kind of like where my struggle is. I will do kick ass for so well and so long, and it's like I'll lose those 10, 15 pounds, and like you're getting the compliments and you're feeling good. And then I honestly can't tell you what it is, but you just something shifts in your brain, and it's literally like an overnight thing where, you know, you'll be driving home and for 6 weeks you've been like, yeah, I'm not going to get that McDonald's on the way home because I don't need it. I'm not hungry. And then next thing you know, you're like in the drive-thru and it's like, I'm not really hungry. I don't really need anything. I'll get like a cheeseburger. Not a big deal. And it's just like, it's insane. And I've noticed it's gotten bad to the point where, especially since following you, where I will literally be like, I am not hungry. I don't need this. But it's almost like you just need the taste, which is like 100% like borderline an eating disorder. It's super, super frustrating because I'm so good at everything else in my life. Like everything else is so in check. Like I'm wicked at my job. I'm a 10 out of 10 friend. I'm a 10 out of 10 wife. And I can say all these things because people tell me, and I've even had my friends tell me, like, you put yourself last for everything. Like everyone gets the best version of Jen except for you. And so in figuring that out in the last like couple months, it's kind of been borderline devastating, but also a good reality check. So it's like, man, if I had a friend that treated me the way I treated myself, like I would not be friends with that girl. Like 100%. Always skipping out on like gym dates or like, you know, changing my mind last minute when like really my body like either craves or needs, like, I don't know, like a big bowl of pasta because I've worked out so hard, but it's like, oh, you know what? No, today you're going to eat like a twig and you're going to have like a gross salad that you don't even like, you know? And it's so messed up. And like, I even have a buddy, Jeremy Longpre, he works for Up North Athletics here in Mission. And like, he's been my accountability partner, checks in on me every single week. And like, he's so aligned with basically your mindset of, you know, like, don't over the holidays restrict yourself to the point where it's like, then you're going to binge, or, you know, don't treat yourself badly and all these things. And even with that, even with like being in the inner circle and having someone as my like one-on-one accountability, I'm like, whoa, okay. I need something to happen, or I need some kind of serious shift to change. Cause like, I'm sick of it, for lack of a better term. Like, I'm fed up with myself. And it's like, how come I can do everything else in my life so perfectly, and then this is just the wall that I come up against?
I get it. And just so you know, I mean, thank you for sharing all of that. I sincerely appreciate it. And I guarantee you, in the same way that you felt that you resonated with what Nick was saying, like, in the same number one, thousands of people did. And like, that was one of the best things about doing that podcast with Nick, both of those. But I guarantee people are like, yep, I know exactly what she's talking about with everything that you're saying. And I really appreciate it. You're very good at articulating it in many, many ways, the emotional side of it, the logical side of it. So I really appreciate you doing this and being open about it. Let me ask you this. Talk to me about the times in which, when you're doing really well, right? You mentioned the times that you're on track, maybe, I don't know, for a week or for 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Talk to me about what you're doing over those time frames in which things are going really well.
Honestly, I'm doing what I love, like the big ass salad. Like, it's so funny. I've never heard it called that, but like, I was doing that before I joined the inner circle. And now I do it even more so, cause like, there's so many fun, like, ideas on the inner circle, like, hey, try this. And you're like, ooh, I love that. And like that for me, like, a salad is not a salad to me. Like, when people are like, oh, I hate salads, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, salads are the best thing ever. Cause like, they don't have to be just like a chicken Caesar salad. Like,
I agree.
It can
I,
be,
if,
oh
if
man,
you
like,
salads,
get some
you
more.
Just,
yeah.
Your imagination
like, it's,
sucks.
Yeah, like, get some warm yams on there, some pecans, like, it can be a bomb thing. And so, yeah, like, I'm eating things that I love, but that are also not shit. And because I'm eating things I love that aren't shit, my body feels great. So my workouts are better. My old injuries aren't popping up because I'm treating my body well. You know, I'm getting good sleeps. To be honest, I'm putting myself first. And I think, even in just saying this to you, I'm like articulating it and it's going in my head. I'm realizing that, like, I guess I kind of have a guilt almost when I'm selfish, for lack of a better term. Cause it's like, you know, I'm doing my thing. Like, I'm doing my workouts. I'm getting my time in. I'm getting a good night's sleep. Like, I'm not going out with friends. Cause it's like, hey, you know what? I actually really need to sleep tonight. Cause like, with my job, you know, sometimes I can't afford to go to work and be tired. You have to be on your A game. So like, I'm genuinely just taking care of myself and I feel good. And it's like, so why do I stop? Like,
that's what I'm interested in. That part, I think, is what probably most people, and binge eating is something that so many people struggle with. No one's really discussed it until very recently. And I think more people struggle with it than people realize. And I think this part right here that we're talking about, in terms of when you're doing really well, and then all of it, like, what happens? What's that switch? Why, like, could you be doing well for 4 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever, and then all of a sudden, boom, you find yourself back, like, at McDonald's again? And then not only that, why does that maybe one time at McDonald's not then just end at one time? Why does it perpetuate into every night or several nights a week binge eating? Like, talk to me about what happens once, like, you're doing really well. Walk me through, like, if you can, maybe one night in particular that you remember, one instance that you remember in which you're like, ah, screw it, I'm going, and whatever happened.
Well, I know I am for sure the type of binger where I wish I could say I'm the type of binger where I, you know, I have that one meal and then I'm like, okay, like, had the one meal, forget about it. No big deal. Like, you're back on track this second right now. Instead, I am 100%, to call myself out, the type where it's like, okay, maybe I'll have like that piece of, like, I don't know, chocolate cake that I didn't really need, that was just like randomly, let's say at like a shift briefing or something like that. And then I don't know what it is, but it's like, in my brain, something just goes click. And then it's like, okay, now you have permission to binge for the rest of the day. And then you feel like a total asshole because it's like, okay, it doesn't just stop at the chocolate cake. Then you're just like, okay, well, I packed my lunch and my lunch is super healthy and great and within a calorie deficit and awesome. But instead of sticking to that lunch, okay, what are all these little add-on foods that I can get in? Because now that I've had a taste for something, it's like I want to keep going. And it's like I want to steamroll and I want to steamroll hard. And it's twisted and I know it's twisted and you kind of feel guilty doing it, but I always tell myself in my head, like, oh, you know what? You'll start fresh tomorrow. Don't worry. Like, you'll start fresh tomorrow, Jen. Not a big deal. Just like, go for it. So then it's like, okay, then you have like the muffin. And then of course, like with being shift work, obviously like my sleep schedule's off, it's whack. So I'm eating, I don't know, a brownie at 2 a.m. It's like, that's not good for you. And it just kind of start steamrolling. So it doesn't just turn into like a 1 hour, you have one meal and you're like, okay, it's over with. It turns into 24 hours, which kind of slips into like, okay, well, yeah, that day wasn't really that great the day before, but hey, we'll do better today. But it's not that big of a deal to binge today too, but just not as big of a binge as yesterday. So it's kind of, it's really sick and twisted when you think about it. Cause it's like, I'm still going. I'm still totally destroying my calorie deficit and not in a good way. And before you know it, you've turned a 1 hour binge into like a 3 or 4 day consecutive binge. And not that I'm like sitting at the fridge the entire time stuffing my face, but it's like when I am going to eat, it's like, okay, I want something sweet or I want something salty or I want something that's not going to satisfy me that watermelon, cantaloupe, big ass salad, chicken breast is going to do because I want something that's fun. I want to treat myself, for lack of a better term. And I am the queen of treating myself, but it's not a treat because like a treat is a one time, like, okay, like have a treat. Whereas I turn a treat into like a week thing. And it's, yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it. Like once you get kind of a taste for it, I'm 100% a foodie. I love food. I love to eat food. And I can only imagine the size I would be if I didn't eat, like in a calorie deficit and work out. So I guess that's like my problem is just like that taste for it. And I think sometimes I attach eating to like, I'm an emotional eater, one absolutely. Like, unfortunately, growing up, that was something that my mom would do. And I'm not blaming her for it because a lot of parents do this. But it's like, oh, like, you did good on a report card. Like, oh, let's get pizza for dinner. Like, I grew up in a house where there was always homemade food. We had such healthy food. That's why we were such healthy kids. But that was kind of a coping mechanism. It was like, oh, let's get like a treat or a candy because you did well. Or, oh, let's do this because of this. And I kind of see, like, especially since joining the inner circle, I'm like looking and I'm like, oh my God, I have never stopped doing that. I have never stopped rewarding myself for even the smallest thing with food. And it doesn't necessarily have to be fitness related. It can be like, oh, you cleaned the house today. Like, go treat yourself to something. And it's like, oh my God, Jen, like everyone cleans the house. Like everyone does the dishes, but it's like, not until like I started, when you reached out to me in end of October and I would realize like, okay, we're going to be having this conversation. I've started to really consciously like kind of check myself. And I think I would say like, yeah. So attributing my binging, one of the biggest things is I am an emotional eater, but not in the sense of like, oh, I get sad, so I'm going to eat something. It's like, ooh, I want to reward myself, or ooh, I want to treat myself. And it's messed up.
So there's a bunch here. And first I'll say the one thing that you keep saying is how like it's twisted and it's messed up, and it's not. And I think it's really important to clarify. It's not twisted. It's not messed up. It's an issue that we can very much overcome, but I don't want you to think that it's like, because usually something like twisted and messed up is something that's like, it's not common. And I would say the way that I sort of phrase this is it's not normal, but it is very common. And by normal, I mean it's not a behavior that we'd like to create a habit out of. It's a habit that we would like to change and that we very much can. But I think the more we go into it's twisted, it's messed up, the more we end up shaming and guilting ourselves, and the more often we end up using that as a justification to say, well, like, well, this isn't going to change, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And that's the number one thing we have to get out of, is that mindset of that. It's like, well, I keep doing this. It's awful. It's twisted, whatever. It's like, listen, it's an issue and you've recognized it. That in and of itself is amazing. Now what can we do next? And that's what we're going to work on. So just the fact that you know and are aware of this and are actively seeking out how to improve it is incredible. And I think this is one of those shifts in optimism versus pessimism that is really, really important for long-term success, in terms of being like, cool, so you're struggling with this, and we can either focus on how awful it is and twisted it is and messed up it is, or focus on how amazing it is that you've recognized it's something you want to switch and fix, and that's what we're going to focus on. And that's really what I want you to focus on now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a way better way to look at it.
and it sets you up for success, because now that you're focusing on the positive steps you're taking, the more likely you are to continue to take steps to improve it, rather than focusing on how awful it is. Because think about this. So Nick just – I just published the second podcast that I did with him a week or two ago. And with the first podcast, he was binging about like four to five times a week or so. The second podcast, he brought it down to an average of one time a week. Spoiler alert, he hasn't binged since the second podcast we've done.
Oh, my God. And, good for him.
But the thing is – imagine if when he told me that on the second podcast that he had binged about once a week, if I was like, all right, so like we really need to fix that because that's not good, then it would have been a very negative, pessimistic mindset, versus being like, oh my God, you just went from binging 4 to 5 times a week to one time a week. That's incredible. And that very slight shift in how you view it. And I guarantee, sort of like you were saying earlier, you would never – like if someone was treating you the way you treat yourself, then you wouldn't be their friend. I bet if a friend told you about this progress, you'd immediately point out what's all amazing about it and what's good. But for yourself, it's very easy to look at how the things that are bad and pessimistic. The more you focus on the optimistic side, the more likely you are to continue taking action, because there's a reason to, because you see success on the horizon, versus the more you focus on the negative, pessimistic, the less of a reason you have to try at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So the one thing I want to go back to that you were talking about was when you were saying how you might binge, and then the next day you'd be like, all right, we're gonna get back on track, but you know what, I can still binge, just maybe not as much. And that turns into like a week long thing, or maybe four or five day, six day, seven day thing where you're binging for a week. What happens after you're done binging, whether it's for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days, what do you then go on a very, very low calorie like a binge, like in terms of like, are you now restricting intensely? What do you do then?
Yeah. So basically, like, you get to the point where like your body just feels so gross, right? And for me, the biggest tell is like when I get to work and it's like, oh, because I'm already adding like 40 pounds of equipment on. So if I'm binging and I feel like a slug and then I'm adding an additional 40 pounds and like walking around, it's like, okay, this isn't good. This really isn't good. And again, I don't really have the luxury of just showing up at work. Like sometimes maybe like my life is going to depend on my fitness. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is when you feel that gross, like you really check yourself. So then, yeah, then I'll restrict.
And what does that look like? What does the restriction look like?
So I'd say before Inner Circle, restriction was like, yeah, that kind of psychotic, like, okay, you have a salad with like lettuce and a little bit of chicken, and you eat like apples, and you have no fun, and you drink water, and that's it. I would say now I'm more embracing, like, I'm a huge watermelon fan. That's a huge help for me. So
hell yeah.
I'll definitely go into a deficit, but it won't be like that crazy girl chicken and salad type deficit. It'll be like, okay, so I have one massive salad that's still like, maybe it's an 800 calorie salad, but it's like a beefy salad that'll hold me over, and then like little snacks. So basically I'm able to kind of get back on track in a healthy way right away. Like I'm not doing anything psychotic to like, because I know, like, I just know I can't sustain, like, I can't live off of these, like, crazy, like, 800 calorie diets where you just drink soup and juice. It's like, I can't do that. My body doesn't respond well to that. doesn't mean I haven't tried it in the past. Like, I definitely have. I've done, man, if I had like a dollar for every crazy fad I've tried, I would be a very rich lady.
You and me both. Yeah. Together, so, like, we would have an empire, I promise.
yeah, exactly. But like, I get back on track pretty quick and I feel great right away. And it's like almost like within 24 hours, like after the binge, it's like, whew. Man, I feel so good. Like, why do I binge? Like, why do I do this? And then starts the cycle again of like, okay, do I go for a week? Do I go for 2 weeks? Do I go for 6 weeks? Like, when's the next binge coming, so to speak?
And all right, so this is great. We're getting a very full picture. And just so you know, I've heard this exact story, not like your story, but this exact pattern so many times. It's not even like you'd be shocked. And I say that because it's so important to know you're not alone in this. And that's one of the reasons I love doing things like this, to really just spread awareness that you're not alone, because so much of this is done in private and it's done in a way that you hope nobody will ever know, because you think that you're all alone, because you think it's weird. No one would understand. The amount of response that I've gotten in regard to these types of discussions has been overwhelming in the best way possible. And I really want you to know that I've heard this exact cycle literally in conversation form hundreds and hundreds of times. Wow. So this is great, because I've also helped many, 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 many people overcome it. And I'm telling you right now, I have 100% confidence that you are going to be able to overcome it. There's not a doubt in my mind. I promise you.
That's so good. That's so hopeful.
It's one of the things that people who struggle with binge eating, they worry about, right? They're like, am I going to do this forever? Like, is this my life? Is my life cycles of binge eating and restricting, uncontrolled eating, feeling terrible about it, followed by periods of over restricting and really struggling with that, followed by periods of binging? And the answer is no, it does not have to be. I think the hardest part is doing the things that are going to make you uncomfortable in the beginning to allow for that long-term success to happen. So at this point, let me ask you this: when you're going through a binge, right, for however long it is, while you're binging, do you ever get the feeling of like, oh man, I know after this I'm really gonna have to go into a deficit?
Yes, 100%.
Talk to me about that.
Because it's crazy how your body responds. Like, when I'm eating well, when I'm eating, let's call it normal, in a deficit, or maybe let's not even say, maybe even I'm going a couple hundred calories over my deficit, but I'm eating good. Like, I'm having the big ass salad, I'm getting my fruits and veggies, I'm drinking my water. Like, your body just feels bomb and it feels good. Whether I'm still that 40 pounds overweight or not, like, you feel good and you can work out good and you can put out good energy. Whereas, yeah, when I'm binging, it's like, you feel like trash, because you're eating shit that you shouldn't be eating, and you just feel like gross. There's really no other, you feel sluggish. Like, you feel like, when I'm binging, I don't feel good.
Makes total sense. Make 100% sense. Now talk to me about when you get back on track. Are there foods that you will not allow yourself to have?
Yes. Like, I will definitely try and stay away from, because one of my biggest things I binge with is like treats, and treats can be any category you want to make it, because I'll make it a category, like little sweets and like bakery items and chocolate and
brownies.
Brownies and ice cream and like.
Can I just say brownies are one of my all-time favorite treats? Just gonna put that out there.
Yeah.
Brownies and vanilla ice cream. Are you kidding me?
Oh man, and it doesn't help that I am a really good baker. Like, that's the one thing my mom passed on to me. So it's like, man, I have this wicked talent that it's like, yeah, you know what, Jen, it's totally normal to make a pan of brownies, but then it's not normal to eat the pan of brownies. Like, it's called balance. Like, have one. And I think that's my thing, is learning like how to turn, because again, I want to try and use positive language, because that's one thing we've talked about. So how to turn, like, making the brownies and having one brownie versus making the brownies, eating half the pound of brownies, feeling disgusting, and eating the other half the next day just because, like, oh, it's there and it's gotta, I don't want to waste food. And it's like, no, Jen. Like,
and tell me if I'm wrong. Also, the idea is, well, when I'm done with it, I'm going to have to go back into a hardcore deficit anyway. So yeah. I might as well finish it now and then just I'll be done with it.
Totally. And it's like, oh, I'll just get it out of the way. Or like even at work, it's like, oh, I'll have this piece of whatever, insert treat here. I'll have this now because I'm not going to have it for a while. And that's like, I think one of my biggest downfalls is, oh, I'm not going to have it for a while. I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm not going to be able to. And it's like, insert any excuse you want. It's like, no, 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 Jen. Like, you can be in a calorie deficit and you can go have that brownie. Don't have to feel like shit about it at all. You can eat normal, have the brownie, and call it a day.
We're going to pause right there. What you just said. You're like, it's almost like I can hear the laughter because it's like a huge stress relief. What you just said, that is the reason.
Yeah.
Like that, and that is one of the ways in which I structure conversations is I was waiting for you to say that. That is exactly the reason. And I'm smiling ear to ear right now because that is how we're going to get you to stop binge eating. This is it. Like that is a gold nugget. That is like the sorcerer's stone of the answers right there.
I'm
like
such
that's
a huge
it.
Harry Potter fan, by the way, so I appreciate that. So good.
Because what happens is, and I have a feeling that you know this and you can feel it. It is that when you are binging, the whole thought is, well, when I'm done, I'm not going to be able to have it anymore. So. Totally. I'm going to have it all now. I'm going to eat as much as I can now because when I do get back on track, I won't have any of it. And then when you're back on track, I feel great. This is so good. But there's always that like, I can't have that. I can't have that. I can't have that because when I do, then I'm going to binge. And then basically once you do have that, because inevitably you will, because you've built up that thought process of, well, once I do have it, I'm going to binge. Now, all of a sudden, you use that as justification to, all right, well, the floodgates are open. Let's go in. Voldemort's here. We're just going to fucking eat all of it. Right? It's like the Death Eaters have arrived. Let's go.
Let's party.
It's those two extreme thought processes of when you're binging, eat as much as you can because once you stop binging, you won't be able to have any at all. And when you're doing quote unquote really well, okay. I have to do really well now because like I can't have any of the other stuff because once I do, then it's going to be one of those binging things again. And those are the two extreme mindsets that we have to essentially, and this is far easier said than done, but it's very doable, is finding a way to have a little bit more moderation in there so that you can have it without feeling like you screwed up and that you can have that one brownie without eating the entire pan. Now, that being said, I'll tell you this. We could talk about trigger foods, right? I'll tell you this. If there's a pan of brownies in my house, I'm eating the whole pan. Like, that's just because it's delicious and it's there and it's right in front of me. Like, so now we can come up with different strategies in terms of, okay, if you're going to bake, and you're gonna make a pan of brownies, amazing. Then you can give yourself a bright line of exactly how many you're gonna eat on your own, if any. And then you're gonna bring all the rest into work, or you're gonna give them to your neighbor or whoever it is. Give it to like a bake sale or homeless foundation, whatever it is. Like, you have to come up with strategies now that so it's not sitting in your house. If I have a bag of pretzels in my house, the bag of pretzels will not be there for more than a day because I'm going to eat the whole thing. So now I have to figure out ways to make sure that that's not going to happen. Does that make sense?
Totally.
So, but before we even get to the strategies of don't have it in the house, because those are good, but they're not great. Because the reality is, I mean, if anyone who's really struggled with binge eating, I mean, if you really want to, you'll go to CVS or 7-Eleven or Walgreens or whatever's in your area. You'll drive there and you'll get a pint of ice cream. It doesn't matter. Like, it's not that hard to do, especially if you're out on duty at like 2 a.m. Like, of course, like you're driving.
The world's your oyster.
Like, yeah, exactly. So it's not even necessarily about number one, not having them in the house, which is a good strategy, but not the strategy because the reality is no strategy will work long-term if you first do not fix your mindset and your relationship with food. To begin with. So first and foremost, Now we have to figure out, well, how do we improve your mindset and relationship with food before we start coming up with strategies? Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So let me ask you this. When was the last time that you binged?
Probably like 2 days ago.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate the honesty. That's amazing. And have you been back on track since?
Yep.
And you've like been like, you haven't had anything bad, quote unquote bad, right? Like just been on point.
Totally. Yeah. Nope. Been great.
Okay. Amazing. How are you counting your calories?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Got it. Okay. So we're going to stop counting calories. Oh. How does that make you feel?
Nervous.
Perfect. Scared. That's what I'm looking for.
Fearful.
That's what I'm looking for. Good. So we're going to do two things. We're going to stop counting calories and we're going to stop actively trying to be in a deficit. You're what? Like, I hate this guy. But you know what's great? I'll tell you this, and I'll use Nick as the example. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to be doing calls like this and stuff like with Nick as the example. So hate to be the spoiler alert, but I'm going to be just because it's so damn impactful and important. First call, I told Nick the same thing. We're not going to count calories. We're not going to try to be in a deficit. He reduces binging from 4 to 5 times a week to 1 time a week. Second call, which is still published, we decided that he is still not going to count calories, but we're going to allow him to try and actively lose weight as long as he's not binging. And all the details are outlined in the episode, but number one, he hasn't had one binge this month. It's almost 2 weeks in and he's down about 2 pounds. And the whole reason behind this is when I say something like you're not going to count calories and you're not going to try and be in a deficit, the usual response is fear and anxiety based around this idea of, well, if I'm not trying to be in a deficit, then, and I'm not counting my calories, then I'm probably going to binge and I'm going to gain weight because I'm not trying to be in a deficit, which is a very logical train of thought when you just look at it on the surface like that. But when you analyze the actual behaviors of what you're doing, not what you want to be doing, you can start to see that the binges are probably setting you way further back than you would even if you were legitimately in a surplus every day, like slight surplus. So by removing the calorie counting to begin with, it doesn't have to be forever, but just for now, removing the calorie counting and stopping trying to be in a deficit. Now, when you're binging, or if you binge, you're not going to be like, okay, well, I'm done with this. I can't have it anymore because I'm going to be counting my calories and I'm going to be in a deficit. Now, all of a sudden, that thought, and this is exactly what you outlined, that thought of when I'm done with this, no more, that thought begins to dissipate until eventually it's eliminated. And when that thought is eliminated, the binging stops because nothing is off limits. You can have anything you want. It doesn't mean go out and binge. But the ironic and funny part about it is, once you eliminate the thought process or idea around eliminating foods and tracking meticulously, all of a sudden the desire to binge, that urge to binge, the impulsive pleasure, the emotional side of it is gone. And now you can start to have a healthy relationship with food. And then if you decide you want to start tracking calories again, if you decide you want to start losing weight, and this could happen in a month, it could happen in 6 months. But then eventually you can do it if you want to, but oftentimes you don't have to. Or you don't even want to because you have a great relationship with food and you're achieving your physique-based goals without having to track. I think this is something that a lot of people confuse with my content because I talk about calories so much and I do encourage people to track for a certain period of time. But it's definitely not for everybody. And you need to be in a calorie deficit to lose fat, but you don't need to count your calories to be in a calorie deficit. And for me, I very much believe that if you want to achieve any physique-based goal, and you're in the inner circle, you've heard me say this a million times. If you want to achieve any physique-based goal, but your mental and emotional relationship with food is not first healthy, any physical progress you make will be short-term. So, yeah. Which is why first we need to develop this very healthy relationship with food, and then we can start focusing on your physique. The cool part about it is usually they happen in conjunction with one another. It's not like you do one and then the other. It's you start with building a healthy relationship with food, and shocker, while you're doing that, you start to improve your physique as well. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
How do you feel about all that?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm scared shitless. But I'm also – it's really exciting. It's like really exciting to feel like there's a solution coming and to feel like, because what you just said is exactly what happens. Like, I count calories and I restrict, and my physique, yeah, it changes for whatever it is, that 6 to 8 weeks. And then because I haven't fixed like the core root problem, it just, it all comes back. And like, there's nothing more frustrating than, let's say, yeah, like I tore my ACL 10 years ago. So really for the last 10 years, because it was like the weight went on automatically after that, because you're so, you can't do anything. And it's literally been 10 years of like up and down, up and down, up and down. And it's like, man, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of not being able to do this. And it makes sense why I can't, because I'm just going in this like cyclical cycle. And so, yeah, it's nerve-wracking to hear what you're saying, but the smart part of the logical part of my brain knows that it's like really awesome and exciting. And if I actually do it, like there's a solution coming. It's just, am I committed to it? Which I 100% am.
You know, it's so interesting and I'm very impressed. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why I'm so confident that you're going to succeed. I am literally 100% confident. I would bet a significant amount that you are going to succeed. I really would, because I can tell by behavior and speech pattern. And when you're looking at behavior and psychology, one of the aspects that we look at in terms of how to know whether or not someone's willing or able to change is what they're saying and how they're reacting. When I suggest, how do you feel about not counting calories? You say you're nervous, but you're ready. You say you're nervous, but you know it's the right thing to do. If you came at me with, no, I'm not going to do that, then I would be a little bit more concerned. And I would say, you know, maybe it's not the right time. Maybe, I think what you just described perfectly is you've been doing this for 10 years. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like, you want to make a change. You're ready to make a change. You're willing to make a change. And because you've been through so much for so long and you've had enough of it, it's going to happen. I'm smiling because for me at this point, it's already won. You've done it. You are in the mental space and the emotional space for this to happen. Now it's just the actions have to obviously follow. But I'm very convinced that at this point, you're going to do what you need to do to succeed. And what I mean by that is I'm very convinced that there will be a period of time within the first week in which it is very difficult and anxiety producing, but you are not going to let that fear and anxiety prevent you from taking action and doing what we've discussed. And you will then see progress and you're going to start feeling better and better and better and better. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in terms of not counting calories, do you know what I'm going to recommend as the first thing that we try?
No idea.
So have you seen the 3-plate, 2-snack rule that I have?
Yes. And also I think it was, I don't know if it was in Nick's podcast or it might have been your other one about binging, the have a drink of water and wait 20 minutes or something like that.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the 3 plates, 2 snacks. Okay. Which basically, do you eat breakfast, by the way?
It kind of depends on the shift, right? Like if I'm getting up at 4 a.m. or if I'm getting up at 4 p.m., like, I don't know. I don't really have like a breakfast per se. There's always a first meal of the day, but sometimes it might be, you know, 4 hours after waking up. Sometimes it might be 20 minutes after waking up because I'm hungry.
Okay. So for me, the major thing I want to clarify there is you're not, or are you saving your calories for later in the day at all? Or are you more just like, you just eat when you're hungry?
Totally. No. Yeah. I eat when I'm hungry. Like, I'm not one of those people where it's like, breakfast Perfect. Is the most important meal of the day, so I have to eat 1,100 calories in it. No, I'll eat when I'm hungry. I would say I probably tend to have a bigger meal a little bit later in the day, like more of a lunch dinner type thing. But again, just with being shift work, that can literally be all over the place.
Got it. Okay. So for what I would love to have happen is the 3 meals, 2 snacks. So every day you're going to have 3 plates and you're not going to count the calories on that plate. Right? Just no counting. And by the way, if you want to have a big ass salad, like that would be outside of the plate. Like, that does not have to be counted on your plate, but your plate is going to be
your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner. And everything you're going to eat is going to fit on that one plate. There has to be protein and there has to be vegetables on the plate. Ideally, the protein and vegetables will make up at least about half of the plate.
Okay.
The rest, I don't care. Like, that's up to you. But as long as you fit on one plate, your three meals throughout the day, you're good. Then you have two snacks to play with. And generally for me, I usually say the snacks can be either fruit or a protein. It could be watermelon. It could be Greek yogurt. Could be a banana. It could be cottage cheese. Could be an apple. Whatever you want, I would say either a fruit or a protein. And if you're like, what about both? I'm not going to tell you not to have both, because like, why? Like, who in the hell would tell you not to have both? If you want to have both, do. But I would try and say one or the other to begin with. If you're really hungry on a given day and you've been very active and you want to have both, I would rather you have both than restrict, right? So I would rather you have both than feel like you're being overly restrictive, but one or the other two times a day. Okay. That's it. Three meals, two snacks. Are you a drinker? Do you drink a lot of alcohol or no?
So I know that's another one of my issues. Like, no, not like a big drinker, but definitely like being over the holidays, like everywhere you are. And that's another thing I also need to get a stronger mindset with, is people just being like, come on, everyone's having a drink, like have a drink. And it's like, it's never just one drink, right? It turns into like three or four. And like, I have a really heavy tolerance. So like, I can have three or four. I don't feel anything. But it's like, man, did I just drink like 2,500 calories? Like, that was such a waste. So I was just like having this conversation with my husband the other night. I'm like, man, I kind of want to do like, and not necessarily like, oh, a sober January, February to restrict myself. But just like, there's really like, we don't need to have like a drink on a Wednesday night. Like, there's like, if we're going out, sure. But yeah, that's something like definitely for myself, I want to cut back, just because it doesn't benefit me and you normally feel like shit. So
yeah, I definitely agree with that. And I mean, if you're like, yeah, no, I do drink like several times a week, that's totally fine. I have nothing inherently against it. But I, for me personally, I know, I mean, I just took the entire year 2019 away from drinking and I still haven't had one in 2020. It's just like, I was never like, my dad actually had a huge drinking problem growing up. And so like, that was definitely, it's funny. Some people, they see what their parents do and they fall in those same habits. Other people, they see what their parents do and they want to do the exact opposite of it. Like, largely through seeing the stuff that my father did, they're just drinking excessively to an outrageous amount. I've just had a huge aversion to it. And so I literally was like, you know what? I'm just not going to drink all of 2019. And it saved an outrageous amount of money. And it just like, it just made being a little bit healthier much easier. Yeah. But if you decide that you're going to drink, then for every drink that you have, reduce one snack throughout the day. So you have three meals, two snacks. If you know you're going to have one drink, have three meals, one snack. If you're going to have two drinks, have three meals, two snacks. If you know you're going to have more than two drinks, now you got to start being like, okay, I wouldn't try and reduce your meals, but I would be like, all right, like this is not going to be something that happens very frequently.
Yeah, for sure.
Does all of that make sense?
Absolutely. No, it makes complete sense.
How do you feel about that?
It's kind of liberating and exciting, to be honest. Like, obviously, we said, there needs to be the action behind it, but I just, there's no better way to say it other than I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know that I'm the only person that can change this. There's not a miracle pill. There's not even being in the inner circle. Like, it's no benefit to me unless I'm going to actually put forth the effort to make the change. And I'm just so ready to do it that it's like, okay, this is good. Like, and I know I thrive off of structure. I know I do really well with like kind of having a plan. So I think that's why calorie counting works for me, but then obviously I have the issues with binging. That's where it kind of gets messed up. So I'm excited to not count, but to still have that structure of like, okay, I got my three meals, I have my two snacks. Like, how are you going to make this work? How is it going to fit in conjunction with your schedule? Like, I'm very excited for it.
I love so much about what you just said. I love, first and foremost, and this is a theme that I'm bringing into a lot of the content that I'm doing, but you take ownership and responsibility very well. Like, you are the first person to say, this is my job. This is my responsibility. Like, if anything's going to happen, I'm going to have to fix it. This is one of the reasons why I'm so damn confident you're going to succeed, is because one of the ways in which I can more or less at a very high percentage and success rate tell whether or not someone's going to be successful or not is based on whether or not they're taking ownership over it or they're blaming it on someone or something else. And the fact that you're so ready and willing and able to say, this is my responsibility, and if anything's going to change, I'm going to have to do it, says so much about your character and who you are and what you're going to do. I'm very, very impressed with that. The other thing is, you were talking about how one of the reasons that you like calorie counting is because it gives you structure. And I realized early on that calorie counting for people who struggle with binge eating is not smart when they're trying to eliminate the binge eating habit that they have. It doesn't mean they can never calorie count again, but it does mean that calorie counting is not smart while they're trying to do it, because it oftentimes just leads to perpetuating the issues they're struggling with. But when I first started realizing this, I struggled with coming up with a way to essentially create the same amount of structure without actually counting. And without structure, there's a massive amount of anxiety. And this is across all areas of life. When you don't have a plan, you're anxious. When you don't know what to expect or what's going to happen, you're anxious. And that's why anytime you're doing something new, whether going to the gym for the first time or you're starting a new plan or you're going on a date or whatever it is, there is fear and anxiety and nerves and sometimes excitement, but a lot of fear because you don't know what to expect. When you create structure and a plan, now all of a sudden, it doesn't mean the fear or anxiety is eliminated, but it does mean that you have a better idea of what to expect, and so you feel more confident and solid in what's about to happen. And that's how I ended up coming up with the 3 meals and 2 snacks. And this is how I structure my goals. This is how I structure everything. It has to be very specific and clear, because when you have a very specific and clear idea of what's going to happen, you just feel more confident in it. And it takes so much stress and thought out of the way, because this is it. This is my plan. This is what I'm doing. I know it's not ambiguous. It's not just eat better. It's not just eat healthier. It's not just eat less. It's this precise strategy. And I guarantee you, Jen, if you follow this and you do not count your calories, because I know the first week what's going to happen is you're going to be looking at the plate. You're going to be like, all right, so like this is you're probably very good at estimating how many calories are on a plate. Yeah. When you catch yourself doing that, I want you to say, don't, Jen. No, Jen. Like, absolutely not. Like, bad Dobby. No. Right? It's like you don't need to slam your head into the dresser like Dobby did, but don't try and count the calories. Just follow the rules. If it fits on one plate, and when I say plate, I don't mean like a cafeteria lunch tray.
It's like a platter.
Middle school. Yeah, just a regular plate. And if you want to have a salad, by all means, you can have that on the side. And that's it. And that's all I want you to start with. I don't want you to weigh yourself. I don't want you to track your calories. I only want you focusing just on the 3 meals and 2 snacks. And that's it. And please keep in touch with me. Let me know how you're doing. I would love to catch up with you again, get on another call, see how it's going. But I promise you, as long as you do this, then what's going to happen is the desire to binge is going to dissipate and eventually be eliminated, because you're no longer eliminating foods like at all. And you're no longer necessarily restricting yourself based on a number of calories or a certain food. Now, as long as it fits on the plate, you're good. Right. And it's like,
yeah,
someone could be like, okay, well, if I just take an entire jar of peanut butter, that fits on the plate. And I'm like, yeah, well, if you want to be that asshole, then you deserve what happens. Like, come on, yeah. I'm not going to put an entire jar of peanut butter on the plate.
Then it's not actually wanting change if you're going to be that devil's advocate.
That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better. So no weight tracking, no scale tracking, no calorie counting, 3 meals, 2 snacks. And let's say you do binge. It's okay. You just get back on track. The only way you fail is if you quit. And so if we talk in a month or month and a half and you tell me, hey, you know what, like I binged 4 or 5 times, but before you were binging like 3, 4, or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, well, fucking done. Like, that's incredible. And you could tell me I haven't binged once, which would be amazing. But the goal isn't to completely and utterly stop altogether. The goal is to get you better. That's it. That's the number one thing. And this is where a lot of people struggle with comparison with other people and looking at other people. It's like, I don't think comparison is inherently a bad thing, but I do think the competition isn't with anybody else. The competition is with yourself. And if you just improve by binging one less time over the next month. That's progress.
Yeah, that's absolutely. We're looking better than what I'm doing now, right? So
that's exactly right. And I'll tell you, I would not be surprised if the next time we talk, let's say it's in a month, 2 months, that your binging frequency drops by at least 80%. I would not be surprised. That would be a pretty standard and normal improvement. And then the next time we talk after that, 95 to 100%. I very much see this happening very quickly over the course of 1 to 3 months, where your relationship with food is at an all-time high and you can enjoy a brownie without having the whole pan.
Yeah, I love that optimism. I love the light at the end of the tunnel.
I mean it. Because if you're having dinner and you have some room on your plate and you want to have a brownie, you can. And you're still going to make progress. And it's going to be 100% okay. It's nothing is off limits. 3 meals, 2 snacks. Put on the plate what you want on the plate. As long as about half of it is vegetables and protein. The other half, it's up to you.
That's awesome. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I feel hopeful. And I haven't felt hopeful in a very, very long time, so it's nice to have that, like, that energetic feeling of just like, fuck, I can actually do this.
Hell yeah, you can. Hope is a very, very powerful thing, and I wouldn't tell you this if I didn't believe it. I very much believe and know that you're going to succeed. I would not say that if I didn't believe it, and I'm very excited to catch up with you, get on a call again, and see how you're doing.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for the time and for your guidance and wisdom. I appreciate it so, so much.
Of course.
And yeah. I'm looking forward to maybe, let's say, like, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months, give me some time to get into a routine, and I'll reach out again. And I'm going to keep track of the binges if they happen.
Please keep track of all of them. And also keep track of your consistency, right? In terms of the 3 meals and 2 snacks. So use the calendar. Red X on a good day, black circle on a day that you don't follow it, and let's see your consistency as well.
Okay, for sure I will. I absolutely will.
And I believe, is today Law Enforcement Appreciation Day?
Is it? I didn't even know.
I think it is. So I just want to say thank you for your service. I sincerely appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Happy to do it.
And so I'm very excited. Please keep me posted with your progress, and I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds good, Jordan. We'll talk in a little bit.
All right, bye-bye.
Have a good one.
That wraps it up for this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Jen, thank you so much for coming on and being so open and honest with me. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a 5-star review. It would mean the world to me. If you have any questions, let me know. And if you want to join the inner circle, you can do that at sfinnercircle.com.